never been a man on earth who is followed in all his doings by his nation. People who sleep in the manner he slept in, purify themselves in the manner he did, adhere to his practice in the way they eat, drink, and clothe themselves, and all aspects of their lives trying to follow his blessed footsteps. And to follow him in every aspect, such as how he greeted people, entering, leaving the house, entering, leaving the masjid, sleeping and awaking from sleep, observing the moon, observing new fruit on trees, eating, drinking, dressing, riding, traveling, returning from travel, all these things are covered. As well as all the other aspects of worship, prayer, fasting, pilgrimage, charity, all these are issues. And remember that the leading people of the religions who met him, when they questioned him, he answered them. And they chose to follow him after they witnessed the signs of his truthfulness and the evidence of his miracles. And they did not do it out of compulsion. And this is also the fact that if the Quran did come from him, then why is it that it mentions corrections of him? Why does the Quran correct him? And not just not on big things, but on things that we would consider very small. Abasa wa tawalla. That how would a man correct himself on something that nobody would have cared about? The fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was addressing a group from the Quraysh, the dignitaries from Quraysh, that a blind man came up to him, obviously he doesn't know what's going on. He runs to him and he wants to ask him a question. The Prophet ﷺ just frowns at him. And he's a blind man, so he didn't even notice that the Prophet ﷺ was slightly annoyed by this. Why would the Quran correct him on something that nobody really even cared about? None of the people who were with the Prophet ﷺ objected to this. And then mention it in a good 8 to 9 verses. Mention this. Why would it do that? So again, this shows that he is not an imposter or a charlatan. Because there was no motivation. All the motivations are finished. You can eliminate them one by one. To the point you can only conclude that he is a truthful, trustworthy messenger. And this is why Allah mentioned in the Quran, Surah Al-Takwir, وَمَا صَاحِبُكُمْ بِمَجْنُونَ, and your companion is not mad. Why does Allah not say Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not mad, or the Prophet is not mad? He says صَاحِبُكُمْ, meaning your companion, meaning that you Quraysh have known him for 40, 50 years. You would know if he was mad. Isn't that right? Isn't it that even the people that you've known in the Islamic society for 3 years, you know if they were mad? I'm sure there's some crazy brothers amongst you, but you would know if you were properly mad, right? You would know if they were mad. Say, imagine somebody who is the kind of person that people leave their belongings with for many years, and they call him As-Sadiq Al-Amin, they call him that by their own tongues. That's why Allah mentions this, that you know this man, and you then throw these baseless accusations towards him. And witchcraft? Come on, we know what the signs of witchcraft are. You'd be doing crazy, irrational things. You wouldn't be having the best of manners. You wouldn't be coming with profound messages, would you? And believe me, brothers, when you say this to atheists, hardcore atheists, they have no answer to this. Because they know that there is no answer to this. Except the fact that there is a God and that he did send a truthful messenger down. This is amazing proofs about the Prophet ﷺ. And very simple. And they're not very complicated proofs, are they? They're very simple. It's just basic logic. That you can speak to a nuclear physicist or just your local news agents about. Very simple. Plus the fact that he suffered. He was the golden boy of Quraysh. The one that they loved, the one that they cherished, the one that they got involved in everything, the one that his grandfather was so proud of. That's why it was such a shock to him that his people didn't accept him. Such a shock to him. because they saw him as somebody who was one of their own, somebody that they used to consult, somebody they honored. And that's why when he suffered what he suffered, they might have been stoned in Taif by a bunch of children. They couldn't even be bothered to come out themselves. They had to send their children to do it. And he's bleeding. And he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is saying that as long as you're not angry with me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then I do not care what they do. And this is not the sign of a charlatan or a crazy person or someone who's bewitched at all. So, it is impossible that any human mind or any messenger is going to come up with something which describes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge, such as the ability and the knowledge and the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is transmitted through the Qur'an. And it's not in the ability of any human being to place a perfect law based upon justice, equality, mercy and objectivity for all human activity on earth, like the laws that the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ brought for all spheres of human activity, like buying, selling, marriage, divorce, etc. And remember, this was implemented from the west to the east, from Spain to China. How can a book or any constitution or any ideology rule such a vast range of people? Even communism couldn't do that. Communism tried, they had to have different flavors, and even in the end, it didn't last 100 years. So this in itself is also a sign of the miracle of the message and the miracle of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And really, one has to accept, and if you discuss with any non-Muslims, that whoever denies this, it is very easy to understand why they will be punished in hell if they die upon that. Because to deny this is really sort of asking for it. To deny this and to be stubborn about this and to belie this, then you're preparing your seat in the hellfire. And as we know, the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so sublime that even the people who will be punished in hell forever will acknowledge Allah's justice, because they will witness against themselves, won't they, on the day of judgment? Every part of their body will witness everything against them. So therefore, that is a sorrow that they will face. They will not be able to drink from the noble hand of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at his pool. Neither will the innovators. The innovators are those people who try to distort the deen of Islam after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away. So this is a warning for those people who call themselves Muslims about the innovation that they commit. And as the angels usher them off, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they're my. These are the people who are my companions in the hereafter, meaning the Muslims. They say, and then the angels say, you do not know what they invented after you passed away. You do not know what they did. And this is a big crime in Islam, to distort the deen of Islam. Obviously it makes sense. How do we think the other religions came about? They started by distortions, right? People distorted the message. Because if something is perfect, taking away or adding to it makes it not perfect, right? So this is what happened with all the other religions, and all the other messages rather. Because the religion of Allah is one. God is not the author of confusion. He sends one consistent message. That's why the Quran rhythmically mentions, when it talks about what the Prophet said, whether they were Shu'aib or Hud or all the other prophets, they say, your Lord is one, worship Him, we do not ask you of any reward, monetary reward for this. Because it's the character of the messenger. There's nothing in it for him. There's no other motivation except to preach the truth. And a lot of them suffered because of that. So brothers, I mean, this is something really to take quite seriously, that we have this responsibility. We need to really carry this message and embody it.